Welcome to Locked On Cavaliers, the official Cleveland Cavaliers podcast in the Locked On Sports Network. It's a daily show, yes, daily, covering the Cavs and the NBA at large. You can follow the show on Twitter at Locked On Cavs and subscribe to the show on iTunes and Stitcher. If you'd like to submit questions, inquire about an ad, or just say hi, email the show at LockedOnCavs@gmail.com. And if you like the show, please give us a rating and review on iTunes as it helps other people find the podcast. Now, here is today's show. Hello, everyone, and welcome to this episode of Locked On Cavaliers. I'm your host, Chris Manning. I'm an editor at Fear the Sword, and I'm a staffer at Hardwood Paroxysm. And today, I'm joined by a colleague of mine from both sites. He's also a really great illustrator. It's Daniel Ryle. Daniel, what's up?
Hey, how's it going?
That's good. It's good to have you on the show. It's good to have another Fear the Sword and HP family member on the show. And today, we're going to talk about Kyrie Irving, who you recently saw play in Chicago, which we'll talk about later. But we've talked about this with Chops, and we talked about this a little bit on our Team USA pod. This is really the summer of Kyrie Irving, and he's heading into the Olympics, and he's going to be one of the main stars of Team USA, in my opinion, along with Kevin Durant and Carmelo Anthony. I think he's a guy who's going to really carry the scoring load, and he's also going to do some things that he hasn't done in terms of sort of leading the offense from a pass-first point guard standpoint, which is sort of funny considering that's what people give him crap for. But Daniel, looking at Kyrie so far, he's 23, and just sort of broadly, what do you think these Olympics can do for him as a star?
I think one of the great things it can do for Kyrie is kind of cement him as one of the better players in the NBA. I think right now his reputation kind of he's been given a lot before he's earned it. You know, like I know a lot of John Wall fans that are very upset about, you know, the fact that he gets all the shoe deals, that he gets all the All-Star nominations, and he spent his first 4 years on a team that, you know, was in the lottery for 4 years. So I get that, but like Kyrie's an NBA champion now, and now he gets to go and win gold medals. So it's pretty exciting. And what I saw, you know, this past week, it was really great. He definitely is a leader of this team, and as far as I'm concerned, like of the starting group, he's probably one of the better shot creators. He's definitely one of the younger players, and I think that makes him more eager to go out there and represent the United States.
Yeah, you know, I think that's being good. I think he's sort of in that next generation of guys that are going to become really big stars. At least that's the hope for him. I think it's because sometimes his game is super fan-friendly because he breaks angles and hits these crazy shots, and he's just really fun to watch when he's cooking. He's an NBA champion. He's a Nike signature shoe guy, which is sort of a big thing, I think. I mean, he's got the cheapest Nike signature shoe. And I know people get annoyed when we talk about, you talk about basketball, don't talk about shoes. Like, when you're a star player in the NBA, your shoes sort of matter in this weird way that it's how you sort of become, it's part of your cultural identity. It's because of Michael Jordan and the Air Jordans. Like, part of LeBron's thing is that he has the signature Nike shoe. Kevin Durant has the KDs. Like, getting that signature shoe for Kyrie is a really big sign that they invested in it, because think about some of the guys that are Nike athletes that didn't get, like, a signature shoe. Anthony Davis is a Nike signature guy, and he doesn't have the ADs. You can get HyperRevs that are Anthony Davis's, like, go-to shoe, but you can't get a pair of Anthony Davis's at Foot Locker or something. But you can get a pair of Kyrie's, which is sort of, and I think it's because of his style and stuff, and they sold pretty well, everything we've read about them. But Kyrie in Rio is going to be a guy who I think is going to just sort of, he's going to feed off that environment. Look at the last time he played for Team USA, 2014 FIBA World Cup. He's the MVP of the tournament. He kind of just does everything, and he plays great. And this is pre-LeBron. Like, this is heading into the first season of LeBron, heading in after he's had sort of these kind of up-and-down first couple of seasons, which, you know, partially is because him playing that way, but also because he's playing in just sort of a dystopian basketball environment. Like, you think, like, think of, like, Boogie. I kind of equate it in a weird way. Tell me if this is nuts. But it's sort of, Kyrie with the Cavs those first couple of years was kind of like what Boogie goes through with the Kings. He was just playing for a dysfunctional coaches, not really getting the right pieces around him. And he sort of just was kind of, because he was clearly the best player in that situation, he's taking the brunt of all these criticisms. And it's also because he's not like your, you know, prototypical kind of the way you expect a star to sort of play and act. Like, he doesn't act that way, and I think he kind of gets judged for that. And I think his first couple years, he just kind of got thrown into this weird heap because of that.
Yeah, I agree with that take. I mean, I think Kyrie really came into a spot where he had to basically fill a giant LeBron-shaped hole in the Cavaliers' roster. And, I mean, no one really expected the Cavs to compete in the way that you know, LeBron did before he left. But those first 4 years, there's a machine in Cleveland built around LeBron. You know, it's like a multi-million dollar industry. And so I think a lot of what you can see from Kyrie was just an excited expectations for, you know, first overall pick, and just a lot of, you know, the t-shirt companies and everything else that's hanging around in Cleveland, ready to kind of watch the next star blossom. So it's really cool to see it finally happening. And I think, you know, it makes him all that much better of a player that, you know, he started his career off with like Mike Brown as his coach, that now he's here. He's had, what, 4 head coaches by my count?
Yeah.
Since he started his career. So, I mean, it's pretty impressive. And then, of course, now he's on Team USA with Coach K, which is, I guess, would be his first and now his 5th coach. So.
Yeah. Well, he played for Coach K at Duke, too. I mean, for the little he did play at Duke. And he has a good relationship with Coach K, which I think is part of the reason he's so sort of ingrained in the current USA basketball. We'll see if that changes as he goes forward, or if, you know, Steph plays or whatever. But for now, like, he's Team USA's best point guard. Like, he's going to start over Kyle Lowry in Rio when he deserves to. And the head coaching thing is crazy, because for how well Kyrie has turned out, he just finished his 5th NBA season. He went from Mike Brown, who's one of the most unimaginative offensive coaches I've ever seen. He went to Byron Scott, who, you know, in fairness, did a really good job developing CP3, but kind of never really developed Kyrie in the way you kind of hoped he would. And part of that is because he had to figure out how to use Deion and Jared Jack with Kyrie, which is just crazy. Then he gets LeBron back, and he gets David Blatt, who, you know, never really resonated with that locker room. And then it's like he finally got the guy that I think is primed to help him succeed in Ty Lue, because Ty Lue was, you know, he wasn't a star point guard, but he was a very good NBA player for a long time. Won at a high level, is very well respected as a former player, and he kind of benefits Kyrie in ways I don't think other coaches have or can, and I think that's a good thing. And I think you're going to see Kyrie get some stability now, and he's had that. He's like, now they won a title. They have Ty Lue as their coach for the next 5 years because he just signed a crazy extension. You have LeBron, kind of, you know that Kyrie is his A1 running mate, like that is his guy. And he's sort of set up to just, I think, keep growing and growing and growing in this way. And he's 23 years old. Like, he's at 23 kind of hitting these points that some guys don't hit till later, some guys don't hit at all. And he's hitting them at a time where it's, like, going to validate him in ways I don't think he could have otherwise.
Yeah. I think one of the big things with Kyrie, too, was when he first came onto the team with LeBron, or I guess when LeBron came back, you know, there seemed to be a lot of drama around people speculating if there was tension between the two about who. Okay, I think, because I feel like LeBron had a lot of expectations for Kyrie, and there's this one clip I remember of him on the bench where he was talking like it was almost like he was talking at Kyrie, and Kyrie's just like shaking his head and looking down a lot. And I think what's great about him now in his 5th year is, like, if you look at the NBA, I mean, in the NBA championship in that game 7, there was those 3 moments, right? There was the shot, the block, and the D, you know, or the stop, however you want to call it. But probably, I mean, the block, each of those has its own accolades, but what Kyrie did with that shot is probably one of the most important shots in Cleveland Cavaliers history.
I think it is the most important shot. Like, it won the title. Like, I think... We talked about this earlier this week on a podcast with William Bull, but my whole argument for Kyrie Irving as the second best Cavalier of all time is that he hit the biggest shot in team history. Like, I know he's really young and everything, but he hit the shot that won them the finals. Like, to me, it's like, just give it to him. You know, like, he's already done these things at that age.
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah, so you saw him play in Chicago last week on the Friday. They rocked Venezuela. Beaten by 35, but, you know, it wasn't the best we've seen Team USA play. Paul George didn't play in that game, but Team USA only hit 4 of their 25 three-point attempts. You had Carmelo go and KD combined to go 0 of 9, if I'm not mistaken, and Kyrie and Klay Thompson combined to hit the 4 threes, Kyrie hitting one out of 1 attempts. Just watching that game and seeing what we've seen so far in the Olympics, how do you think Kyrie fits in with this version of Team USA?
I think Kyrie fits in pretty well. I mean, you know, this Team USA stuff is so funny because, you know, when I went, it didn't really dawn on me until I actually was out there on the court counting the number of players that I could, like, that, you know, it's like, I've only been to maybe four or five NBA games, and so I went to an old Raptors game, but, like, just checking off boxes of, like, oh, hey, I just saw, you know, Kevin Durant take a shot. Oh, hey, there's Klay Thompson. Oh, hey, there's Draymond Green. Oh, hey, there's DeAndre Jordan dunking. It's like, it's crazy how much talent is on this team. And then from all of that, then you have Kyrie Irving, who basically is the ball distributor and like one of the lead kind of like shot creators for this team. He started with them. And I think watching him out on the court with like players like Melo and players like Draymond Green, it's pretty exciting. Even to see him with like Klay Thompson, you know, both of them were out on the court in pregames on separate sides taking their shots, and they didn't really interact too much, but it was cool to see them later on the bench definitely chatting it up. So I mean, this is an opportunity for Kyrie to kind of make these kind of friendships in the NBA and cement him as a respected player. So I'm really excited to see it.
Yeah, he's totally recruiting Klay Thompson and Draymond to come to the Cavs in a couple of years. And when the Cavs beat the Warriors, they gotta come to the winning team. You know, you gotta roll with the winners, to quote LeBron's hat. But in all seriousness, like Kyrie, I think on this team serves as sort of, he's the third scorer. I think it's KD's team, quote unquote, because he's clearly the best player. KD is the best player in this team, like not even close. No, I mean, it's, like, relatively...
I agree.
It's not, like, super, super insane. Like, it's not KD's, like, the lone, like, really good player, but he's the best player. Carmelo, because he's the veteran of the team and because he's Olympic Melo is amazing, is going to be, I think, the number two scorer, I think, on most nights, just, I think, how that functions. And then I think Kyrie really has a very good chance to be that third scorer, and that he's going to be the lead distributor. He's going to start a point guard. You know, he's going to get the nod. He's getting the nod over Lowry, and I think he fits really well with these guys, and I think he's just going to be set up to succeed in a way we haven't seen. I mean, you look at when he played in the FIBA World Cup, he wasn't just scoring. He was dishing out a ton of assists. He was leading the fast break. He was playing this very loose and kind of, you know, more free style of basketball that he doesn't really play with the Cavs, that he played really well in, and it was the style that people wish he would play with the Cavs and or wish he had, you know, wanted to play in the NBA. I mean, the Cavs play a different way because they don't have... It's a lot harder to play that way when you have Kyrie and LeBron, and then you have, you know, role play, and Kevin and role players. It's a little different when you can run out of five of Kyrie, Klay Thompson, Kevin Durant, Carmelo Anthony, and DeMarcus Cousins, like to play like a little bit free basketball, a little more free basketball.
Yeah, I mean, it's crazy to watch DeAndre Jordan and Boogie Cousins on the boards because they just outsize their opponents so much. It's basically like USA got so many second chance points in that game. Even like in one of the first possessions in the first quarter, Kyrie set up Melo for a three. Melo misses it. Like he missed, I think, four in the game. And then it's rebound, pass right back out to Kyrie, who just stepped up and made, you know, his only three of the game. But it's so exciting to see these players, and I think what makes it so great for Kyrie is just like he has an opportunity yet to prove himself as a ball distributor and a player that can actually share the ball and be a point guard, and, you know.
And point guard in air quotes, because there's no such thing as just this as one type of point guard. Like Kyrie may score, but he's a point guard. Haters out there. you know, speaking of Kyrie Irving in a different way, Dan. There's a place online where you can get really, really great Kyrie Irving and other NBA apparel. And you can go to, actually, it's your site. You can go through danieljrowell.com and go to merch. And Dan has a TeePublic store where you can buy a Kyrie Irving t-shirt or a notebook or a mug or a laptop case or a print or whatever you want. And it's Kyrie Irving crossing people over, breaking ankles. You know, Dan also, he has the design, if you subscribe to Fear the Newsletter, it's the same design from Fear the Newsletter. You can buy that in a notebook or a t-shirt or anything. I actually have the notebook. It's great. It came in the mail not too long ago. It's the exact type size of notebook you can slide in your bag and take to work, and it's not that dumb wide-ruled paper. It's nice college-ruled lined paper. And there's a ton of other stuff. There's a really great Anthony Davis design. There's a really great Andrew Wiggins design. There's even a Steph one. If that's what you like, I mean, I guess you can get that one too. But you know, Dan's aunt described the t-shirt as fabulous, and they're cool tees. So, like, you have to get them. They're available on tpublic.com, but you can go through danieljrowell.com and go to merch and check those out. And if you're a potential advertiser out there and you liked how we this getting an ad on this show, that's an example of what it would look like. So you should totally check that out. But Dan's artwork's great, and you should totally go buy it. I've spent way too much money on it because it's great, and I'm probably going to spend more money on it because it's awesome. And I'd rather support a local, not local because it's like over the internet, but independent creator and a good friend and a good guy in their show to have. But back to the actual Kyrie Irving in real life. All right, let's go through some scenarios for him. What do you think the best case scenario for him is in Rio?
Gold medal. Did they hand out MVPs?
Yeah, I believe they do.
Yeah, MVP. You know, I don't know if there is going to be a competitive game, but like I think that's pretty much the ideal. I would love to see him on jet skis with Boogie. I think that would be great.
I need when the Cavs last went to Rio, there was like all these videos that should have been Deadspin of him and Kevin Love like drunk and maybe they won't go adventure. I heard the Olympic Village is a bacchanal of nuts, like everything you ever read about it. But so maybe he can have fun without having to go out, but everything. But yeah, Kyrie and Boogie on jet skis as like a vine would be my top five things I most want to see in the internet during the Olympics.
Yeah. I'd be down for. I mean, I've read a lot about Rio's sailing situation, so I hope that they can find a spot to jet ski. Maybe a resort, but you know, it would be so much fun to catch just like any of Kyrie hanging with Team USA. I feel like he is probably the lead, party creator, good times creator, like in terms of just he's an NBA champion. He's been at it for the past month.
Been in either the sun or on a boat for like months. And since J.R. Smith isn't on the Olympic team, like someone's got to take on that mantle.
Yeah. So, I mean, I with Clay and Dre, you know, those are some of the lead NBA champions on that team, but Kyrie's the most recent, and I think it'd be pretty fun to watch.
Yeah, I think you're also going to see, I think I agree that's the best case scenario. He just averages like 15 points and like 8 assists and just kind of does it all a little bit and wins MVP. I also think there's a chance his star really, really grows in the tournament just because every time he's going to get mentioned on the broadcast, you're going to have the announcers be like, oh, this Kyrie Irving, who recently won an NBA championship with the Cleveland Cavaliers, just broke some dude from poor guy from Spain's ankles. You know, they're going to be like, oh, Kyrie Irving just hit a shot, and it wasn't like the one he hit over Steph Curry to win the NBA title for the Cleveland Cavaliers. Like, you're just going to get that reinforced in people's minds so much, and you're the casual fan. Like, I don't think basketball resonates at the Olympics as much as volleyball or track and field. Like, it's not that sport, I think, the general public always turns into. It's just like my head tells me, because it's not that you can go watch the NBA and it's like, you know, whatever, but the people who do watch it and aren't necessarily NBA fans or just supporting Team USA are going to be like, oh man, Kyrie Irving is awesome and he's really young, and I think his star only grows in that regard. Like, I don't think there's, unless he gets hurt or just somehow plays really bad, I don't see a scenario at the Olympics where Kyrie comes out having not had his star grow. Like, this is the Olympics, in some ways, are where you prove yourself as a star. Like, LeBron did it with the Redeem Team. You know, KD did it a little bit. And it's also a place where you just get marketed as a star a little bit. Like, there's the joke from, like, 2 weeks ago when there's that photo of all the guys who aren't Nike guys got their shoes cropped out of that photo. Like, Harrison Barnes and Clay, like, couldn't have their shoes on camera. And I think Lowry, too. But, like, he's this Nike guy who has a Team USA colorway, and he's just going to get pushed, I think, in this way that's really only going to benefit his stardom. And it helps that his style is super fan-friendly, that Kyrie Irving, you're going to see tons of vines of him just crossing over poor guys in the pick-and-roll during this whole tournament.
Yeah. I mean, even last week when he was playing Venezuela, like, I mean, they all traded hats and stuff as a sign of just the spirit of the games. But at the end of the game, after all the handshakes and stuff, Kyrie was the only player getting called back for photo ops with each of the Venezuelan players at half court. So that was pretty funny to watch.
That's cool.
So, I mean, they definitely know who he is and know what he's done, and they're ready to kind of at least catch the photo opportunity. So
yeah, I think this is a really big time for Kyrie Irving. I think he's only going to grow. I think he's only going to get better from this. And, I think he's really going to shine on the international stage. Dan, is there anything else on Kyrie Irving's Olympics that you think we need to dive into before we go today?
Okay, so I have a question. It might be a little controversial for a lot of the Kyrie fans out here, but I always just wonder because, you know, I mean, he is an NBA champion, he's proven himself, but it just feels to me that, like, with Kyrie, there's a lot of talented point guards in this league. Do you feel like, you know, let's rule out Russell Westbrook and rule out Steph Curry because they opted out. But do you think after that Kyrie is the best point guard in this league, or do you think he's the best Nike Duke related point guard in this league?
All right. So if we went, if you said my top five point guards right now, I think Steph proved himself as number one. I think last year.
Yeah.
I think you probably have to go Russ at two.
I agree with that.
See, I probably have CP3 at three.
Yeah.
So then you get to four, and I think it becomes a Dame Lillard, Kyrie Irving, John Wall, Kyle Lowry. Like, that's kind of the debate you fall into. I would probably, and again, I'm probably a little bit biased because I've rooted for the Cavs for a long time, and I'm like, my Cavs fandom is like slowly dying, but like that has been my team, and I watch Kyrie a lot, and I firmly believe in how good he is and what he's done. I would probably have Kyrie at number four.
Yeah.
That's where I would put him amongst the hierarchy right now. I think he won the title. He won it playing his way. He has problems on defense, but Dame is probably worse than him on defense and a little bit older. John Wall, like, you know, he's not really a good shooter in a league that you need to have shooting from the point guard position in a lot of ways now. And he's a whole other, like, scenario where, like, I don't know what the Wizards, they've never built faster on him, which sucks. And I really like Kyle Lowry, but I would rather have Kyrie on my team than Kyle Lowry.
Yeah, and I mean, I think each of those players on their own one-on-one has their own kind of talents. I mean, John Wall's probably the best shot distributor of that group. I would think that Dame Lillard maybe is the most clutch until, I mean, my problem is, like, everything up until before the finals, I would have said Kyrie is probably towards the back of the pack, especially after he had his rehab year and everything else. Like, I really thought that Lowry deserved the nod over Kyrie during All-Star Weekend. But in the end, like, what happened in those finals, I think it really finally proved that Kyrie is probably the best point guard amongst that group. I agree with you. I think he's probably number four. And I think he really does deserve this starting role with this team right now. So.
Yeah, I think there's a time. Kyrie's 23. I think there's a time in the future where he is the best point guard in the NBA. Like, I firmly believe there's, like, Steph's close to 30. Russell Westbrook, close to 30. Chris Paul is older than 30. Like, those guys are all going to be good for a couple more years and still be really good. And Steph and Chris are probably going to age pretty well. We'll see about Russ, but Kyrie is going to, like, age into this thing where he's going to be 27. And remember, Dame's a little bit older. I think Dame's 25 or 26. Mm-hmm. Like, he's a little bit older. He might even be older than that. And, you know, Kyle Lowry's a little bit. Kyrie Irving, unless, you know, you have D'Angelo Russell, who's, like, a lot younger, but you have those guys that are coming up a little bit, but not as many. Like, Kyrie's going to be the best point guard in the NBA. Like, I think that's, like, inevitable that is going to happen. Yeah, Dame Lillard's 26. Like, that's not old, but he's hitting his prime now. Kyrie is not, at least in theory, is not in his prime yet.
Yeah, I mean, the one thing I would look out for is, like, is what Russell Westbrook's going to do in response to everything that's happened this summer. I really do think that if he can kind of go out and have, like, an MVP-type season, he could become the best point guard in this league. But right now, I guess the title of next probably is Kyrie's. So.
Yeah, because I'm not saying it'll happen this season. I think 2-3 years, Kyrie, like, ascends to that spot, especially because it's also going to coincide, and this is something we need to talk about in the future, about Kyrie and LeBron, but LeBron inevitably, Father Time does not lose to anybody, and at some point, it's going to become Kyrie's Cavaliers. Like, you know, there was maybe, like, a debate when Kevin Love came over, and I think there was, about who was going to be the successor to LeBron in some ways, if the Cavs ever got to that point. Like, that was something we didn't talk about a lot then, because it was all about the title and LeBron's homecoming, but that was a conversation. And it's still relevant now. I think the last few years, if anything, I've proven that Kyrie Irving is the successor to LeBron James in terms of taking over the Cavs. He will never, as long as LeBron is on the team with him, it will always be LeBron's team. But there's going to come a point where it's going to be time for Kyrie to sort of handle some more offensive abilities and sort of lead them in ways that LeBron, as he turns 34, 35, 36, 37, if he's there, that Kyrie will just have to do. And that's when I think Kyrie, you know, ascends to the top of the point guard heap and maybe gets, like, MVP votes some year or something.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah.
Yeah. Dan? Oh.
You bum me out. And I'm thinking about, like, LeBron retiring. That's so sad.
Hey, he's just going to – I mean, LeBron will probably always just be kind of around, though.
Yeah.
And you can – then, I mean
– he's always in my heart.
Well, there's going to be that point when we're, like, in our 40s, and it's going to be, like, watching LeBron highlights from, like, 03. I'm going to be like, man, I was 10 then. I'm old now. Like, it's going to happen. It's going to happen. I mean, it's already crazy LeBron's been in the league for so long, but that's like a whole, that's going to make a really great Lockdown Cavaliers episode. But Dan, thank you for joining us on the podcast today. Where can people find you on the interwebs? Twitter, are you writing anything cool coming up?
So I was going to write some quick thoughts on this Venezuela game, but that probably is going to be up. Other than that, I'm working on a fan fiction piece for Hardwood Proxism on how the Hendersons got tickets to the game. So look for that in the next week. And if you want to follow me on Twitter, I'm at Daniel J. Rowell. It's DanielJRowell. So anyways, thanks for having me on. This is great.
It's of course. I'm happy to have you on. In the future, Dan's actually probably going to end up having a reoccurring segment on the show as a little teaser for you guys. That once the season gets closer, we're working on some stuff with a little thing he does at HB called Hot Cakes and Hot Takes. Or maybe it's the inverse of that. Okay, it is that. But
Hot Takes and Hot Cakes.
Hot Takes and Hot Cakes. Yeah, sorry, it was the inverse of what I said. But that's maybe going to be an audio segment coming soon. But again, you can find me on Twitter at CWMWrights. You can find the podcast on Twitter at Locked On Cavs. You can find us on Google Play, iTunes, Stitcher, Audio Boom. Tune in, like, wherever you want a podcast, you can probably find this show. If you like the show, please give us a rating and review on iTunes. It helps other people find the show. Yeah, five stars. Shout out to Jimmy Butler. And rate it and review it. We really appreciate it when people do that because it helps other people find the show. And right now we're 5 stars on iTunes with 6 people, so I feel like we're doing pretty well. But again, thank you, Dan, for coming on the show. And listeners, we'll be back tomorrow with another episode. Say it's a big Olympic.